Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Malka.
Good evening. We are beginning at the Sulam commentary of the Zohar in Parasha Lech Lecha, chapter 11. Or section 11, Pasuk 73. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabarichu ishkin teipit hilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu le'achda l'shem yudhe bavadhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai elohino aleinu ma'asei adenu kolenei aleinu ma'asei adenu kolenehu. Kewan de'it atar Abraham bedir goi bi'ara kibisha bi'al bedir ga kadisha Gedein ma'chetiv v'yehi ra'av v'aretz Delaha wo yadei yediya l'karva l'gabei d'chud shabarichu. After Abraham was crowned with his graves in the Holy Land, the secret of the Mohin from the revealed world, Rachel, called the Holy Land, and entered the holy grade that is the grade of Chesed, and the aspect of the hidden world. Leah then, it is written, and there was famine in the land, which means that they were not sure how to approach the Holy One, blessed be He. As in the secret of the verse, not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for hearing the words of Hashem. My commentary. This pasuk is revealing the code word famine. It helps us to understand the language of branches, which uses a physical word to describe spiritual consciousness. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, we've always associated the word famine with a lack of Torah. So this is giving us a little bit higher level meaning.
Normally, when we see the word famine, we think it's something physical, right?
Mm-hmm. But spiritually, I always link it to a lack of Torah knowledge, you know, or Torah teaching. Whether governments prohibited people from being able to practice their faith or persons who just choose not to be, you know, to not to pursue Torah.
Okay.
And I guess it includes Zohar and study of Kabbalah, you know.
Yes.
It all goes together.
Any aspect of Torah. When we're not able to do it, it's called a famine. But this is a language of branches. Most people don't make that connection. And this verse is very helpful to start to begin your understanding on a deeper level to what is the language of branches.
So the code of the two names, Rachel and or Raquel and Leah.
Yes.
Now, I would have thought Raquel would have been Dina, but it looks like she's Hudson.
No, Raquel is Malchut and Leah is Dina.
Mm-hmm. But before reading, if I would have had to guess before reading the verse.
Understand.
Yeah. I think we always kind of did Abraham and Sarah, so we've... the tendency, you know, think of, and always think of Rachel, Raquel, his mother. But I can see why it would be his. Because of the two sisters.
Leah is the mother of six tribes and Dina. Rachel's the mother of only two tribes. We see Rachel as the mother because of the grave being on the road.
Right.
Pasuk 74. Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz da'ad kayan la'hawa. Hey, la di al ara, yahev tukfa zona, al ara, begin diad, la it kad shat, the la yakaima, the kiuma, ke wan de hama, Abraham de hahu, hey, la di mana. Al ara la yahal tu father hela kadisha kad kahaze kedem vayered aram mitzrayma lagor sham. And there was a famine in the land because until then the power ruling over the land did not supply the land with strength and nourishment. This occurred because the nukva was not completely built and not properly established. When Abraham saw that the power appointed over the land did not supply it with might and holy strength as it merited, then Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written, yet this pasuk does not answer the why question to my satisfaction. Questions?
Me,
comments?
I just understand why he went to Egypt, of all places. It might he would have gone to northern part of Israel where the couple of sons of Jacob didn't enter the land but stayed outside the land. But to go to Egypt, well, I guess because he's probably foreshadowing the promise of Hashem delivering the Hebrews in the future from Egypt. Maybe that's the link. I don't know.
Well, that is one of the links. That's not all of the links.
Was it that he had to fight everything? You know, all the so-called gods of Egypt as well as, what came to my mind? You know, the idolatry, the so for him, it was
what,
a test.
Understand this verse, and it'll help you answer that question.
Okay.
He realized that the person, the entity in charge of the land, in charge of the land of Israel, was not completing the land. It was not complete. And he recognized that that was a lack within the relationship of the spiritual to the physical. And he would realize that in order for a lack to be completed, to be fulfilled, where would that lack have to be fixed? It's not fixed in the spiritual. Lacks are fixed in the physical. So whenever you have a lack, you have a narrow place, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So did he physically go down to the Egypt and cross the Nile? Or did he stay in Israel but go down consciously? But you have to, in order to fulfill any lack you have, you have to be in Egypt. Because it's only that narrowing of the place that allows you to fulfill yourself.
Well, we know he did go physically because he brought back Hagar.
Maybe Hagar was in visiting the land of Israel.
No, I never thought of that.
Egypt controlled the world, right? After Joseph, all of the wealth of the world was in Egypt. Now, this was before Joseph, but Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth physically.
Well, I'm trying to make a connection with America being metaphors for Egypt as well as Babylon. So can we say the same thing about us because we're here?
Well, you have some of the modern people, modern Kabbalists, saying that America is Edom. Others saying that it's Mitzrayim. Because what is America but a mixture? And does the Torah tell us that mixtures are good?
Well, it's a test in Gomorrah, so it comes together to be Tiferet. Yeah, it is good. But I think we kind of don't think that mixtures are good. I mean, we think of the process with silver and the process with gold that has to, you know, to be made to refine it. And
yes,
those impurities pulled out.
That's to remove the impurities. What if you have two levels of holiness?
That would be good.
But if you had two levels of holiness, they would cleave to their own side. There would be a central column, a mixture of both, but they wouldn't be mixed together. They would work together. Remember what we say? You have to love everything. Or if you don't love them, at least appreciate them. And what you have to do is appreciate the diversity. You have to appreciate the other person's culture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work together with the other person. You don't have to mix with the other person. And that's, we're finding that that's what's happening in America. The mixture is taking place, whereas the appreciation is not.
Mm-hmm. And I don't like the role that women are playing in that part.
In what sense? Are the women causing the separation between the groups? Or are they bringing the groups together through appreciating the other cultures? or are they bringing them together through mixing of them?
I think on the whole that they're overstepping their role. In Torah study, we were going over, you know, Bereshit, and one of the members, I think when it began to talk about the women, one of the men said, well, all of a sudden, where are these women coming from? And I made the comment, well, they've always been there, meaning if you do a study, I mean, if you study the Torah for any length of time, you see the women are mentioned throughout the Torah, as well as the prophetesses and all that we know, you know, that they really are prominent in the Torah. But for some reason, either from the lack of knowledge of Torah or maybe the movement of, you know, criticizing Torah being written in masculine gender and that kind of thing that's going on, you know, that
no,
that women didn't have a role, and it's very evident that they did have a role, you know, from Deborah to Ruth to Esther,
yes,
to, you know, on and on.
Well, but the predominant culture reads the New Testament, not the Old. And in the New Testament, you do not have that same level of appreciation for female.
Mm-hmm. Well, I keep thinking once women reach a certain level that, you know, maybe this newfound freedom with so many that maybe feel that they've been held back for all these years, that once they reach a plateau, I guess I could say, then maybe they'll get in the rightful consciousness of where they belong. I take that as an example of myself, of leaving Christianity. And right at first, I just didn't want to have anything to do with anything Christian and kind of kept arm's distance from my friends because I knew I was going to be beat up spiritually, you know. Or I'd get phone calls, you know, please come back, and, you know, we don't understand. You're the one we used to ask questions of, and now, you know. And so after a point, it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. After a while, for me, the most humbling thing was to have to go to a sixth grade Catholic school class. And I was asked to teach on the Jewish man from Nazareth. And here I was. This was the church I used to go to as a young girl. It was right walking distance from my house. And that was a very humbling experience for me. And now 25 years later, that doesn't bother me anymore. I mean, you finally get to the point where you see what value you gained when you were wherever you were in your walk, whether it was, even though it was not where I am today, and you have more of a tendency to respect other people and what they believe. And I don't know, more and more I just see this. You know, it's not Jew and Gentile anymore. It's not black and white. It's not even man and animals. I mean, you respect even the mosquito flying around in your house and the fly, you know. And so anyway, I don't know if I'm saying it, but I hope you get the idea.
I get the idea.
That, you know, we change as we grow. And I think maybe women will take their rightful place in time. I just hope I live to see it.
You will.
Okay, good.
Remember, you're going to be here past the Mashiach, because to live another 300 years is, you know, past the 6,000 years. So Not a problem. And as you know, I'm going to be here for at least 300 more years. So, and you
okay.
promised to come down to see us.
I'll talk to you
later. Marco's, I'm not sure Marco's laughing.
Well, I think Marco understands.
I know she understands.
I definitely want to be here to see everything that will unfold. If the good Lord works him, if he gives me that will, and a good mind and a good body to know what's going on.
Well, okay,
so anybody willing to take off your shoes and go in the wet grass at the sukkah like you did. I just, you know, and then I think back when you were so willing to sit in the back in the corner because there was no room in my classroom. And, you know, so.
I will be there with y'all.
Okay.
We'll all be present. How's that?
That's good.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
May not know what you look like, but I'll be able to tell by your voice.
Well, one of these things, I'll start putting on the videos. I think it's a distraction, the videos, that I've tried to study with other people, and I find it, you know, they don't really, I make a connection to the visual image, but once that connection is made, then it's really the words of wisdom I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the visual connection. So, it's why I also don't really have pictures that I post on the website like a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm not a picture person either. I'm that blank face you would see.
Exactly. Well, you have a good evening in our class at the 7 o'clock class will be Ari on Noah, so I think you'll enjoy that as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You all have a good evening.
Okay,
you
too.
Bye.
Bye.